Good morning. This is Choices, and this is Judy Mario, your host, and thank you for joining me today. I am so excited about today's program. We have a wonderful, wonderful guest. We're going to be talking about where there's smoke, there's fire. That's kind of a controversial topic, isn't it? Where there's smoke, there's fire. But in this case, it really is about smoke. Our guest today is Gina Gelbach-Hall. And Gina is an inspirational keynote speaker. She's an award-winning author. And on top of that, she is a seminar facilitator. And Gina has an incredible story. She's written this book, Fire Gal, Rising from the Ashes. And it's a woman's story of empowerment in a man's world. And it's a story of one woman's journey of braving the flames to ultimately rising from the ashes in finding her own empowerment. So welcome, Gina. We're really, really happy to have you here today.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here as well. Thank you, Judy.
Well, you're quite welcome. Let me just ask you this. I mean, it's obvious that we're talking about a firefighter when we're talking about where there's smoke, there's fire. What on earth empowered you, a tiny little cute woman like you, to want to be a firefighter?
You know, I get asked that a lot, and I wish I had this really great story. But I don't. I actually do have, I will tell you, at 3, my parents have a picture of me riding in a little pedal car, and on the side of the pedal car says fire chief. So I'm thinking that I was influenced very young to be in the fire department. But I wanted to be a cowgirl when I was growing up. So when it's kind of a turn of events got me involved in doing emergency medical services. So I was like a duck to water, and through that experience, kind of the utopia when you work for the ambulance company was to get on the fire department because the benefits were better, the hours were better. It was considered a career versus just a job. And so my then boyfriend was studying and getting ready to take the test, and he said, "Gina, you should come and do this." And I said, "Okay, I'm graduating from college. I have no prospects, you know, lined up really in my marketing, you know, field that I was studying for." And went over, and lo and behold, it completely changed my life and took me in a completely new direction, and one that I'm forever grateful for. So it's kind of a little journey.
I guess it did change your life. I mean, running into burning buildings and saving people's lives is exciting, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I absolutely love fighting fires. I mean, like, your worst day is our best day at the office. You know, it's kind of a joke each day. But, yeah, no, I love saving lives, running into burning buildings. It was a high like no other that I've had in my life. So, yes, I love what I get.
But for a woman, being a firefighter is not a traditional job. And what is the biggest hurdle that women might have in entering this kind of a job?
I believe the biggest hurdle is just realizing that you have entered a new environment and that you need to modify, as well as the department needs to make modifications. As those take the math, they take politics, they take a lot of give and take on both sides. And so it's not always, like I say in my book, it wasn't always at the end that I figured out they didn't want that. So same things that I wanted in the department, like separate bathrooms or a turnout system. But they honestly didn't know how to do it at times. It was a new thing for them as well. So it's a growth process. And you need to be patient with that growth process on both sides.
Wow. Yeah, I guess so. You know, sometimes I think when we enter a non-traditional job like that, we think that the difficulty is all on our side. But I like what you just pointed out, that sometimes they just don't know what to do with us either. And, you know, when I worked in Africa, I worked for a newspaper, and I was the first woman in a major position in the newspaper like that. And they didn't know what to do with me most of the time. Of course, most people don't. But as a boss or a business owner, as a person who's running a business, What do you think would be good for them to know to avoid creating a hostile work environment or to integrate women into the workplace?
I think the first thing is you have to have a conversation. You know, I think a lot of times they were afraid that if they talked to me, I would, you know, like go crazy and file a lawsuit. But I think the opposite actually happens when you don't talk to somebody. You actually get the worst case scenario. And it's really important to have a conversation with the people involved. I mean, like you're saying, what you suppress, you express. So if you're acting like you're afraid and you're not talking to them because you're worried they're going to file something or do something, you actually almost create that because now you have this barrier that they can't get across without getting your attention through a lawsuit or through, you know, union representation, et cetera, et cetera. So the biggest important thing is just to have the conversation and then be willing to compromise and work with each other. And that would be my best advice to any department or any organization or any business owner that's dealing with change, is start talking about it and make it safe to talk about and have the dialogue.
So what you're saying is that this being a firefighter for a woman wasn't all glamorous, then there were some difficult times where people had to cope with the change. And what kind of things do you think helped you through this experience? Because surely you went in there with a lot of expectations and you thought it was going to be one way and perhaps it wasn't that way. What helped you get through that?
For me, I believe it was that I actually, God, it's a whole book of the story about it. I'm trying to get that on Gerald as
well. Well, that's why you wrote this book, Fire Gal Rising from the Ashes, right?
I know. Why do I say this? I'm trying to get the Reader's Digest in my head. I think the biggest thing is I had to hit a brief set on my expectations and totally say to myself, this isn't how I want to show up. This isn't working. Let me try something else. And then having the bravery, because really sometimes to try something completely different and radical in your life is very scary. And to have to hit that reset button on my life and say, this isn't the result I want. I need to do something different. And that doesn't require the department doing something different. It doesn't require the people around me doing it. It requires me. So it's really a looking inside me. And I have this thing I always say that I learned from my mentor is the correction always goes here. As you point, you're using your fingers pointing at your own chest. The correction always goes here. And when I really embraced it, I was the change I needed to be. That's when things started changing. Because instead, and then embracing my story. You know, like I had been an advocate, but I'd been kind of a super secret advocate, like nobody noticed, you know, really. That I would be, you know, in the background pushing agendas. And what happened was they became distrustful of me because they thought I had a hidden agenda. Well, I did have a hidden agenda in the sense that I wasn't being forthright with my agenda. Once I came out of the quote-unquote closet and said, look, I'm an advocate for change. I'm here to represent women's rights. I'm here to represent change. And I will be vocalizing those needs that I think the department needs to address. Once I came out as an honest advocate, where I came out and said, this is what I'm standing for, it's amazing how the tide changed. The tide finally changed into, oh, they actually start calling me, wanting that feedback. And that's where, but I had to really own that that's what I was doing. I had to really own and stand in that. And that was this correction I had to make. Instead of being kind of thinking I was being super secretive and trying to, you know, fly on the coattails of another issue, I just came out. So this is what I stand for. And lo and behold, doors started opening. So if you got an issue, stand in it. Stand in it.
Yes, it is so true how important that is. And you were one of the first female captains in the Clark County Fire Department's history, as well as, I believe, you were the first battalion chief, female battalion chief. Is that correct?
No, I was the first captain. I was the second
battalion chief. It's funny because the two, we had one woman on our department when I came on, and then four of us were hired together. And my big competition at times of promoting was my other friend, Renee. And she actually was the second woman captain, and then we flip-flopped it for battalion chief. She was the first battalion chief, and I was the second one. So we kind of
rose
together as well.
And you remain friends through all of that. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, there was a little rocky roads here and there. But, yeah, she's a dynamic woman. I think any woman that moves up into the ranks in a non-traditional career, you have to have a pretty tough set of armor. So, yeah, she's a pretty tough lady as well.
I heard you say that in the things that you learned was that one of the first things was to realize that everything begins with yourself. How do you start to realize that, and how do you explore how to fuel your purpose, how to go forward?
There's a saying, I think it's Newton's law, that an object in motion will stay in motion until equal or greater force acts upon it. And I think it's like in our lives, we'll kind of get in a rut that we're doing the same thing over and over, and then something happens. And usually it's a tragedy. You know, we get in a car wreck, we have something happen. I had something happen on the department that actually took me to being almost suicidal. That's how bad it was for me as an emotional hit. And in that moment, and where I call it rising from the ashes, is in that moment, I really had to make a decision about my life and my direction. And the decision was that this wasn't the legacy I wanted to leave. This wasn't the way I felt I truly was in my heart, the way I was showing up at that time. And I took the negative messages that it took me to my knees, that took me off my course and did a 180-degree, turn. And I took that as a wake-up call. And a clarion call to do something different. And in that rising up and in that looking at myself in that really super critical mirror of, like, I got to look at the other stuff, I started making some shrewd changes. And one of the things is I really started asking for help. I really started searching out ways to see myself in a different light. And so I kind of shifted out. For me, it was a path of doing a lot of personal growth with. And I got involved with groups that weren't anything to do with firefighting, but they were doing some intense personal growth work where I really got to look at what was my story, what was I telling myself, and is that true, and is that the story I want to be remembered for, or the one I want to stand by. And so I got a chance to rewrite my story. I got a chance to look at what we call a blind zone, which is things we're doing we're not even aware we're doing. And basically, when we hit that tragedy part, we kind of get a look at our blind zones, and we get a chance to kind of address those behaviors. Because a lot of times, our blind zone's running us, and we don't even realize that. And in that coming forward, I really got solidified on what I wanted as well. But I think a lot of times, we're not always sure what we want until we get bumped out of a rut, then we have to make some decisions about our lives. And I made the decision that I wanted to be a good officer. I wanted to contribute, and I wanted to be a force that's working with the department versus always against it. And that's when I came out as an advocate. I came out and really took my role seriously, started changing some things and showing up differently. But the person that had to change first was myself. That's really what starts with you.
Wow, that is so true, that when there's a change needed, very often we need to look at ourselves. Listeners, today we are talking with Gina Galba Hall. Gina is an incredible author. She's written the book Fire Gal, Rising from the Ashes, and it is her story of being a woman firefighter. In fact, one of the first women firefighters in the Clark County Fire Department in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's also her account of how she found that true empowerment comes from within, and it all starts with you. Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to contact me, or just ask me a question or let me know what other guests or what subjects you'd like to have us talk about on Choices, please contact me, Judy@JudyMario.com. That's JUDI@JudyMario.com, JUDIMOREO.com. Or go to my website, JudyMario.com, and sign up for my free newsletter, and you'll also receive an audio download of the recording, Realize Who You Are, which goes right along with our topic today. And one of the other things I want you to do while you're over there is sign up for our quarterly magazine. It's an online magazine called Choices, and in it you have people like Gina who write fabulous articles on self-empowerment and positive mental attitude subjects. So sign up for that. That's free of charge, Choices Magazine, and you can get that either at my website, JudyMario.com, or you can go to www.choicesonlinemedia.com/current-issue, and that'll bring you right to the fall issue, which just came out. So, Gina, I wanted to ask you, what advice would you give to other people that are experiencing adversity or a hostile work environment?
Well, my lawyer's advice would be document, document, document. And I do believe it depends where you are in the process. First thing I would suggest is try to open a dialogue. And that goes from both sides of the fence, from management side and from the employee side. Try to open the dialogue. And because, like I said, I have some experiences I share in the book about really my expectations were that they weren't going to help. And really the honest truth as I came through the process was that sometimes they just didn't know how. And so don't always make an assumption that they're all out to get you. And that will help keep those lines of communication open. If you're in it and it's really bad, you do need to document. I mean, that, unfortunately, that is a big part of what you need to do, because one of the problems in a hostile work environment is it can easily be a he said, she said kind of situation. And this can be two males or two females, but I'll use he said, she said as an example.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, hostile work environment is not a Title VII violation where it goes completely to, you know, a charge where you can go through the more formal process. Mainly it's a problem more between two people, personalities, stuff like that. So by documenting it, it gives you, one, a paper trail, but it also gives you a way to kind of look at things more objectively. Because when you do, if you would have to go to a more formal proceeding, they're going to want to, one, know about the documentation, but two, you have to make sure you're not talking about just your feelings getting hurt versus a real violation. So by documenting, you can kind of look and see, is this just my feelings hurt and I have a personality problem with somebody, or is this really truly a violation of the law? And so there are some things to work out there. I am not a lawyer by any means, so, you know, the best thing to do is get great advice, and preferably legal advice if you are having a problem that goes further than what you can handle locally.
Yes, yes. And but I do understand that, I know you're not a lawyer, but I do understand that you are a certified life coach, and as such, do you sometimes coach people on how to get through these kind of hostile experiences that they're dealing with?
No, I don't technically coach right now. I'm not actually operating as a practice right now. However, I do give a lot of advice more informally to people. And what I would coach them to do is really get real in their situation, like really look at, is this a personality issue or is this a true violation? And because a lot of times, and even in my own situation, I was reacting to personal things. I was personally hurt. And I use an example of this. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, and the third one is like this person really mad at you and yelling, good morning, you know, the pizza, whatever. And you go to your boss and you go, oh, this coworker was so mean to me. And the boss says, well, what do you say? Good morning. well, good morning, Ben. It was the tone of voice, you know. So that's where it's really hard because, you know, what did he say? Well, it doesn't sound so bad when I repeat it. He said good morning, but it was a tone, the inference, all those. So to really kind of get, you really can't always change somebody else, but what you can change is yourself. And I have had evidence in my life time and time again that when I changed my attitude, when I got clear on my purpose and what I would accept and wouldn't accept, it was amazing to me how many problems kind of fell away. I also realized that if I didn't want to have harassment, I couldn't turn around and tell jokes that were any kind of harassment because they're watching you all the time. And you train them on what you will and will not accept. And so as I became clearer on that, as I became more succinct on my message, I just didn't participate in a lot of activities. So when I said, whoa, stop, no, I'm not going to go there anymore, people listened because I didn't. They didn't have a history of doing that. And they kind of actually, I still, even a month ago, I got a call from a guy that's still working on the department saying, hey, can you help me with this situation? Because I had a reputation of a person that had clear boundaries, didn't walk the talk, and followed through. And that's where you want to get, where if it, like if it shows up in the front page of the New York Times, you would be proud of how you showed up.
Yes.
That's really where it is. You need to be proud yourself. And then as you get into that high integrity of what you're doing, then others tend to fall in line. And I really believe that's what it is.
It's so
if I was coaching somebody, I would really be looking at their integrity around what's happening. Are you an integrity person? Are your actions mimicking your behavior? I mean, are you walking your talk? Because a lot of times when I was, as I went up as a supervisory level, I would see how the supposed victim that was coming to me talking about his story actually had quite a bit of responsibility in what was happening. And so you really have to be good on your integrity and impeccable on your integrity as you move forward and look at how you're really showing up.
Yeah, I think sometimes in the communication process, though, people don't realize the way they say things or perhaps they don't even realize that what they said was offensive or it could have been taken wrong or maybe if they were in a bad mood that morning, like you said, and they said good morning in a nasty tone of voice, maybe it wasn't about you, it was about them. And I just believe so often we're not really aware of the messages that we give to other people.
I agree. And I think that's where it's very important to have communication. Like going up to the person saying, okay, I'm not sure what happened this morning, but I'm kind of getting a bad vibe. Is there something I should check out about this? Is there something we need to talk about? And really, like I said, as time went on, I was actually, as I got braver and more open to doing things like that, I found out a lot of times I was making up a story about what was going on versus what was really happening. And I had an incident where we were doing a game, and there was a term in the game that we were kind of yelling out, and found out later from as the firefighter went to back to his home station, was just visiting our station, he shared with his captain about how that term made him feel. Well, the captain called me up and said, Gina, I don't get it. Why would you say something like that? And I said, oh, my gosh, no, he had no idea that was a term for the game, you know. And so it was a clear misunderstanding. We totally cleared it up. I called him up. I said, I'm so sorry. I had no idea you didn't know. You know, it was this, and I changed. I didn't use that term anymore. And so it was really kind of a funny thing at the end. But my gosh, he could have gone on thinking that I was being racist term or something like that. And I was just simply repeating a term in a game that was common language around our station. Not even thinking that I had any, offended anybody. So a lot of times it really is just a miscommunication.
Yes, it can be. Miscommunication is the number one problem in most organizations and the number one problem in most of our homes. And so that is something so important. In fact, I teach communication skills, and so I just feel like it's so important for people to do that. And I'm so glad to hear you emphasize that, because we really can solve so many problems if we will just communicate with the other person. But tell us now, what are you doing now that you're retired?
Well, I'm doing a lot of retirement. I love it. I actually, as I was doing my growth work, I got involved in doing a lot of personal growth, and that really hasn't changed. I've now been retired a little over 4 years, which seems like it's gone so fast when I say it that way. And I still do a lot of personal growth work. I just got certified last year as a holistic life coach, which is very exciting for me to actually have a formal education in it. I also did an academy for public speaking, so I now do keynote speaking and do speaking out there. And I am involved still in personal growth. I just absolutely love it. I love doing leadership and things as well. And I've actually been working on the idea of writing another book, so that's kind of been in my mind percolating. So I'm kind of about ready to start that project. I have another book about half finished that I'm waiting on some things for. And so I'm just actually enjoying life and not being stressed and not worrying about things and really getting to know who I am without all my roles, without all my expectations, and really just kind of figuring out what I want to do when I grow up.
Well, I'd love to see you write a book on leadership, because I believe that you have some incredible leadership skills. I've seen you do that in organizations, and I believe you have so much information to give people. How can people get a hold of you, and how can they get a copy of your book?
Well, my book is available online at Amazon.com, and it's both in a paperback copy and Kindle version. So you can go to Amazon.com, just search Fire Gal. You can put in the whole thing, Fire Gal Rising from the Ashes, but Fire Gal will take you right to the book. That is the best place to buy it from. And you can also visit my webpage at FireGalWisdom.com, F-I-R-E-G-A-L, Wisdom, W-I-S-D-O-M.com. And there I have a contact sheet if you're interested in getting a hold of me there. And I also have started a blog. I haven't really got a lot up. I have more written than I have up on my webpage. So if you'd like to sign up for my blog. And I've been working on 52 tips, a year-long thing, on 52 tips from the fire line, which is a combination of fire protection tips and life tips / leadership tips. So I've been working on both those projects, and they should be coming up really soon. So that's where they can get a hold of me.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. And Gina, thank you so much for being a guest today. It was very informative, and I really believe our listeners got a lot from listening to you. I know I did. Every time I hear you, I think, oh, I better take a little more responsibility for the way I'm doing things. And so it's really good to have had you as a guest today. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Judy, and I've loved what you've been doing out there in the world, and it's an honor to be here today, and I really appreciate it, and thank you.
Well, we'll see you real soon. And listeners, remember that our show ideas come from you, so go to judymorio.com, join in, and share some ideas with me. That's J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com. Remember, life is not easy, and any of our work experiences are really no exception. So do your research, make your decisions carefully, be disciplined. What I know for sure is that you can be successful, that you can have an incredible life. It's up to you how you experience this. It's up to you the choices that you make. The ability to control your life experiences and have them result in happiness, prosperity, and success lies in your own mind and in the choices that you make. So choose wisely, and remember, you are more than enough.